Hello, and welcome back to Phantoms
and Psychos.
Today's episode is a doubleheader about cults.
Woo!
Woo! That's something to cheer about, for
sure.
I don't
think we should be wooing coats. Cults.
Coats? Fuck, coats. The cult I'm talking about is a cult that I ended up working for.
We both ended up working for.
Yeah, we both ended up working for. But did
it's
you...
not all about you. God damn.
Wow. Rude. You didn't know anything about the cult before you started working for
No, because
right?
I'm not originally from Lake City.
Yeah. But like mostly everyone in Lake City is like aware, at least, of them. Now they're, like, a little less intense than they were back then because, I mean, their leader died. So, let's get into it. The cult that I'm talking about is the End Timers. It was founded by Charles Meade. He was born in 1916 on December 24th in Oil Springs, Kentucky. He was the 12th of 15 children.
Oh, God. I don't want children, but, like, more than two, I wouldn't kill myself.
He was born to a poor rural community. He quit school in seventh grade. He was drafted into World War II.
Sounds about right for the time.
Yeah, he fought in Algeria, Italy, Germany, and France. And according to his discharge record, he earned 8 bronze stars. I don't know what that is, don't know what that means, but I guess that was significant. However, service records show that he wasn't wounded in the war. Apparently, according to him and like church literature that he has, he spent 4 years on front lines and was seriously injured during several invasions. But in 1967, the mighty hand of God reached down and performed a complete and total healing on a dying man. So
what was he on that, you know?
I have no idea, but there's no indications that, like, he was injured while he was serving in World War II.
Well, yeah, because God made sure no one knew of it. He was completely healed, remember?
And then after the war, he worked in a glass company in Muncie, Idaho?
Indiana?
It is Indiana, isn't it?
Wow.
All right. I'm sorry, because it says Cincinnati, and duh, that's Indiana.
Oh.
Okay.
Didn't you forget Indiana was the state for a moment?
Yeah. What even is in Indiana? Let's be real. Okay. So after the war, he found work at a glass company in Indiana, where he lasted 1 year, and then he became a shipping clerk at another gas company in Delaware until 1961. But for 2 years, he became a felon because he flew into a rage and plunged a knife into a man named Lucius Morrow in the view of eyewitnesses. He fled, but police caught him 3 days later and charged him with assault and battery and with intent to murder.
Didn't he have, like, an excuse?
He denied any wrongdoing.
Bitch!
But on February...
Everyone saw you!
Yeah!
The fuck?
You just, like, stabbed this
dude. I would at least came up with, like, some good reason as to why.
So he denied any wrongdoing, but on February 26, 1949, while he was awaiting trial, he switched his plea to guilty and was given the maximum sentence of 10 years, although the sentence was suspended because Meade had a good past record and good behavior while awaiting trial.
Okay, that's always such bullshit.
So this is where it really starts picking up with the cult stuff. At age 44, he left his glass factory job that he held, and he was unemployed in the 1960s when he joined the Glory Barn and Faith Assembly, a Pentecostal group led by a self-possessed prophet, Hobart Freeman. So under Freeman...
The 60s and 70s were just the time for cults.
They were doing so much drugs, too, then.
It was also the time for serial killers. The 70s, man.
Under Freeman's influence, Meade became a firm believer in faith healing, and they eventually parted ways. So then Meade started the House Church, renaming it the Body, then the Assembly, then the Body of Christ, the Charismatic Church, and then finally, the End Time Ministry. And then since the End Time Ministry, since his death, it's also changed a bunch of times. It's changed from, like, I think it was called Open House Ministry or something. Right now, it is called Mountaintop Ministries.
I didn't know they changed. I'm just so used to everyone saying, oh, the End Timers.
Yeah. Well,
everything's owned by the end timers.
His grandson changed it because he didn't want that to be associated with the church anymore. So it's Mountaintop Ministries, but it's still the same people. And it's honestly still the same beliefs.
Well, they also moved from, like, city.
Yeah. Well, so. They started in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. And he did all of his sermons there in South Dakota during the early 70s. And then in 1984, he founded the End Time Ministries and relocated the ministry from South Dakota to Lake City, Florida.
Ooh. I want Lake City.
According to the church, God told me that Lake City would be the only place that believers would survive Armageddon.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure all of Lake City is just gonna.
That means we left, so, like, we're not gonna survive Armageddon.
I mean, when we have survived anyway.
I don't know. Do you want to know what his Armageddon is, though?
Sure.
The New York Times article written by Alex Hurd and Peter Kevlebinov explained that Mead said that the world will soon be engulfed in sticky white substance or flames with famined people around, leaving the church as a beacon of light. His church, shaped like an overturned Noah's Ark, reportedly worth $10 million, is meant to attract new members to the church.
What is the sticky white stuff supposed to be?
I don't know.
Oh my god.
That's how the world's gonna end, and Lake City is gonna be the only one spared by the sticky white substance. Cannot
The world you. Is going to... end with sticky white stuff or flames. It's either or
both. Sticky white substance and flames, with famished people around, his church being the only beacon of light.
If there's fire everywhere, there's not much of a beacon of light.
Yeah,
flames pretty bright, you know.
Nearly 2,000 followers have left their homes in at least 14 different states and moved to an underground bomb shelter on Mead's property. Mead believing to be made immortal by will of God.
Well, that obviously did not pan out.
That didn't work out in his favor. He is definitely dead now.
Are we sure? Are we, like...
I don't know. They might be hiding his body under the underground shelter somewhere. But when he moved to this neighborhood, a lot of people started moving to the neighborhood to be around him. And it turns out, like, now 15 out of the, like, 17 houses that are in that neighborhood, like little East State neighborhood, are owned by end timers.
That's not that surprising.
No, but, like, they go to his house, like, really... really, like, early in the morning, like 4 a.m.
I was gonna say, who's getting up that early? But then I realize I get up that early for work. So apparently crazy people.
Yeah. And not only did they buy the subdivisions, they bought all the businesses all over Lake City. In 1996, the headquarters was the financial burden of the members of the church. So that's why it cost $10 million. But he didn't pay for it. According to, like, beliefs, you have to give, like, at least 10% of your earnings.
Yeah, cult leaders rarely ever pay for anything themselves.
He had people give 10% of their salary.
Yeah.
But also, if you wanted to show that you had more faith in Jesus, you would give more money.
Duh. Don't you know that's how you buy your way into heaven? With money?
Martin Luther would be so pissed. Well, according to one of the former end timers that I found on Reddit, his parents was basically, like, forced to buy, like, Cadillacs because Mead loved Cadillacs. So, like, almost every single member of the church would drive, like, a white Cadillac.
What a weird car to pick.
Like, he thought it was, like, so great of a car.
Can you imagine, like, getting a group of people and being like, we all have to have the same exact car? Squangles, duh.
Okay,
how fucking charming do you have to be to get people to do this?
I literally don't know. He was so charming that he stabbed a guy and just got away with it. In plain view of shit.
Yeah.
Like, how do you stab someone and then just be like, oh, but he's a good dude?
I mean, he has no prior history of being violent. Like, he's been behaving so well waiting for his trial. Like, he's fine. Let's just let him go.
Yeah, also, can we go back to how he was the 12th child?
That's a lot of fucking children.
Of 15? You need a fucking bus to get all of those kids around. Yeah, he was probably, like, really neglected as a child. He was the 12th one. So let's go to the beliefs of the Church of the End Time Ministries.
Okay.
The End Timers do not seek medical attention when needed.
Same, but that's because I'm poor.
They turn to
I live in America.
Power. Yeah. They turned to a higher power. Charles Mead's first wife died of breast cancer because she didn't get any medical attention. And then he married a few months later to another girl.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
In 1989, an infant son of one of the members bled to death after doctors said a routine injection of vitamin K would have saved the boy. They were not charged with child abuse or anything like that.
Well, no, this was the 70s. No one cared about children.
Like, the baby just straight up fucking died.
No one cares about children in the 70s!
You could have had a shot to save that kid, and then they just said, nah, that's anti-vaxxers right there.
You're not wrong. Essential oils will help.
Mead teaches that illness is a sign of sin, and faithfulness in Jesus is the true medicine. I'm just saying, Jesus never healed any of my migraines.
I mean, same.
Jesus is
He's also not helping with my anxiety and depression, like, so...
Jesus, what the fuck, bro? In December 1990, the followers Charles and Marilee Myers were charged with child abuse, the first ones to be charged with child abuse in the church, after their son suffered from a heart tumor, liver and kidney failure, along with massive sores on his feet. The doctor said that he looked like he was a concentration camp victim, and they didn't get him any medical attention. He'd never been taken to a doctor in his life.
Means probably, like, I was neglected and I turned out fine. It's okay, do the same to your children.
Basically, that was a different time in 1920, Mead.
It wasn't frowned upon back then. It's okay.
Yeah, so they got charged with child abuse.
I mean, good. Good. Didn't they buy their way out of it, though?
Basically, the sentence was massively reduced. It was, like, 6 months.
Yeah. They bought their way out of that shit.
They killed, I think it was, it was their 15-year-old son.
Oh my god. That poor kid. Can you imagine, like, your parents being in something like this and just kind of having to deal with it and thinking this is normal because that's what you grew up with?
Yeah, I'm going to go back to the former, like, End Timer Reddit anonymous guy, because he was talking about how he was born into it.
Yeah.
And, like, he was like, I never knew anything different. Like, he dropped out of school at 17 and he got arranged married to this girl and was a father at 19.
Can you imagine having a child at 19? Like, to all those young mothers, you're doing great, like, nothing against y'all. I just don't want children. Yeah. Like, thinking of having a child that young, nope.
Yeah, and he said that, he was like, I never knew any different, and, like, also, like, I was never taught that women were separate people. I thought she was mine to be owned.
Ooh.
Yeah, and he left when he was 32. And he said it was so hard because all of his, like, financial stuff was tied into the church. He had all of his friends tied into the church as well. Like, that's what makes leaving a cult so difficult. They make you so dependent on them.
Well, yeah. Doubt he's gonna listen to this, but, like, I'm proud of him. Yeah. Good job.
Like, good job.
Way to go.
And he's like, I still have family members that are still a part of the church, but, like, I can't talk to them because, like, I don't want to be involved in that anymore.
That has to really suck.
Yeah. Especially, like, you've never known, like, how to actually live life or how to treat people correctly. And to having to learn that at, like, 30, that's, like, absolutely insane. Not to mention, like, his education is, like, 11th grade.
Yeah.
Like, he never graduated high school. Everyone was homeschooled in church. Yeah. In 2005, Catherine Marie Kennedy, at 23, the granddaughter of Mead's second wife, Marlene, bled to death in her bed after delivering her son. 3 hours passed and nobody called for help. And then when help was finally called, she was pronounced dead on the scene. And the paramedics on the scene were like, she was literally ice cold. Like, I don't see why no one called for help. Like, she just hemorrhaged in bed for 3 hours. From what I read, they didn't even try to help her. They were like, she can just have the baby.
Yeah, no, she was a woman. No one cares about women.
Yeah.
Don't you know that?
So she died at 23 delivering her child.
That's so sad.
And that was Mead's granddaughter. So that tells you, like, how little he cares about getting any kind of medical help, which boggles my mind that he lived until he was 93.
How?
If he never wanted to get any kind of medical help. They don't get medical help, they'll be healed by Jesus.
Yeah, but, like, what's their excuse as to why God or Jesus didn't do anything?
A lot of members just lie that they're not in pain anymore. There was a former member that was talking about how she had a slipped disc and she lied that she was healed by Mead's teachings. And she was like, looking back on it, it was stupid and I should have gotten help, but I just kind of suffered through the pain because I didn't want to look unfaithful.
Okay, but, like, the people who die, how do they explain that away? Like,
they sent, and it was time for Jesus to take them. It's really quite extraordinary what people believe once you get them in the mindset of just being in a community with people. Many members are homeschooled. According to a former member, he ended up quitting school at 17. That's the guy I was talking about. After being arranged to marry by Mead's teaching and becoming father at 19. So a lot of people that were in the church, they were arranged to marry. And they were also homeschooled. Apparently they were making a school. Mountaintop Ministries was making a school. I didn't find anything about the school. They were making a private school. I just know that for sure. Like a private charter school. Also, a tradition by members was to dress in certain ways. Women only wore skirts that go below the knees with low-heeled shoes, no adornments.
Oh, look at me sinning every day.
Like no glasses, no bracelets, no necklaces.
Wait!
No earrings.
Wait, what if they had bad vision? Can they still not wear like glasses to see?
Oh, sunglasses. You can't wear sunglasses.
Okay, but like...
I think you can wear glasses to see.
Well, they don't believe in any help, so maybe they're just like, you can't see? You must have sinned!
You sinned! I have no idea. I honestly don't know if they're allowed to wear, like, prescription glasses if they didn't get medical help. I don't think they had prescription glasses.
I mean, it wouldn't make sense for them to.
Yeah, but women can't have any adornments. Necklaces, bracelets, anklets, hairbands, like the fancy ones. Like, you had to look like you were fucking Amish, basically. And men had to be clean-shaven because facial hair reflected a sexual spirit, which was forbidden.
Oh, is that what it represents?
Yeah. So they had to be clean shaven and wear suits and ties, never blue jeans. Blue jeans was sinful and it hid your spirit from God.
Wait, what?
Blue jeans are sinful that hide your spirit from God.
Well, I sin every day I go to work.
Cell phones, watches, and branded clothes were also considered sinful.
Wait, what was it?
Cell phones, watches, and branded clothes.
Watches? You can't even tell the fucking time?
You have to have a fucking sundial strapped to your wrist.
No, that's still a watch.
Look at the sun. It's about half past whatever.
So you gotta be late everywhere. Be like, I think I'm about on time.
Yeah.
Sir, you're 3 hours late. What?
But like,
it's cloudy today. I can't tell.
The end timers all worked for each other.
I know. Can you imagine like having to go to some kind of meeting or something?
Sorry, I'm late. I don't have a watch.
It was cloudy out today. I couldn't see where the sun was in the sky.
I mean, you could have a clock in your house. Just not a watch.
Yeah, but maybe he wasn't at home.
Then too
maybe
fucking
bad.
Maybe
he was out running errands.
Too bad. You're not going to know the time. You don't have a watch or a phone. I think end timers now, since he's died, they're allowed to have phones.
I'm also pretty sure they can wear jeans now. Because I'm pretty sure I've seen wearing jeans.
Oh, really?
Yeah, when he's come in before. His dog is so cute.
A cult member with a cute dog. That's how they get you.
I will join any cult for a cute dog.
We weren't a part of the cult.
No.
Just to clarify.
God, no.
We just worked for the cult because... And you'll find this out, most of the businesses in Lake City are owned by the end timers. So it's...
How many specifically?
39.
That includes the mall.
Yes. That includes most major shopping strips.
The place I used to like to go to get coffee is included in that. So I also supported the cult.
I mean, you supported the cult by working for them too, though.
Yeah, but I never bought anything from them that way.
But you still supported keeping them open. Let's continue on with the things that were banned by Charles Mead and the church. I mentioned blue jeans hiding your spirit from God. Sunglasses also hid the light of your body. If you wore your hat backwards, it was rebellious.
Wait. So you couldn't wear sunglasses. Because it wasn't anything to do with outside forces. It just would block your light inside.
And facial hair reflected a sex spirit. If you had any car tint on your white Cadillac, you were considered trying to hide something and suspicious. If you chewed gum.
Get really bad fucking migraines. I mean the tint.
You chewed gum. You were considered rebellious and not able to hear God.
So like... When you're eating food, can you not hear God while you're eating your meals?
No, it's just chewing gum.
It's just, but like, what difference does that, it's the same as chewing food.
I don't know. He's just like Disney World, you can't have gum. Mead also banned most to all Christian holidays.
Wait, is his belief not off of Christianity?
It is based off of Christianity, but it's not Christianity. He thought most to all Christianities were rooted in pagan ideals and not true Christian. So he banned like Easter, Christmas, which I think why he banned Christmas was because he was born on Christmas Eve and he was getting overshadowed by
Christmas.
He's like,
nah, this shit's gotta be all about me.
So like he banned almost every single Christian holiday that he believed was rooted in pagan ideals.
Is it bad that I can kind of understand like not wanting something big around your own birthday? Because there was this guy I was talking to and his birthday was like a few days before mine. I'm like, nah, nah. Can't have that.
We can't meet it. I don't know. I don't know why. He was like, no, I don't like Easter.
He said the kids can't go hunt Easter eggs.
Basically.
Children can't have fun.
This is probably why. It's traditional to buy new clothes and wear them to church on Easter. He thought, like, buying new things was, like, sinful.
What other things are essential for being faithful?
Oh, suit and tie, like a fancy... He wore Armani suits. Like, really expensive suits.
Which, of course, he paid for with everyone else's money.
Oh, yeah, he was once caught getting off a cruise with $35,000 worth of goods. It wasn't illegal, but... It was suspicious. In 2004, the FBI opened an investigation on Mead with more than 700 pages of documents on Mead and the End Time Church. The investigation focused mainly on allegations of gunfire and also an allegation that Mead's grandson suggested putting out a contract hit on a family member that just left the church to keep him from talking about group activities. Although, according to...
Yeah, like, that's the only way you can leave a cult is dead.
Yeah. Well, according to like the people in the neighborhood that weren't a part of the End Timers, okay. They would be like... strange noises, like construction on the underground bunker, and like at dark guns would go off in the yard. Like one lady, she was talking about how she lived like across the street from Mead, and she would hear like gunshots, and one time she was tending her garden and a gunshot whizzed by her head.
Oh my god, can you imagine?
Yeah, and she was like, I was so afraid. And I was like, well, of course, you had a bullet almost in your head. And they also used to have, like, sentries, patrolling around the front of his gate where his house is with, like, guns. And they would stop, like, cars that drove by to, like, ask them why they were here and, like, what was their purpose. Until someone complained to the local police department and, like, city police went out and was like, yo, you can't be doing that shit. And they stopped.
Stop harassing the locals.
Literally, that's what they did. They were like, can you not do that? And they're like, oh, okay.
Oh, okay. But then my bad.
But then they started patrolling the grounds inside the gate.
Find a way around what you're told not to
do. But they would watch people with, like, binoculars and stuff. Fucking creepy. So, like, that's what the FBI was, like, they were investigating, like, the weapons that were on the property. They thought they were, like, stockpiling weapons. And they also were, like, the financial stuff was kind of... suspect. They said that the FBI and the IRS checked his finances and the followers like moved money in like weird ways, but all in all it was like suspicious. But the financial threshold for it, like for it to be like white collar crime, was like too low, so they're like, we got like millions to worry about, not like thousands. So all in all they closed their case in 2009 and didn't find him guilty of anything regarding like money and like guns and stuff.
Interesting.
Yeah.
When did he die?
He died in 2010.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah. I mean, when he died in 2010, his grandson took over.
Yeah.
And, like, he tried to make it less culty by, like, changing the name and stuff, but it still kind of is. He died in 2010. His grandson, James Burback, took over and renamed the church to Mountaintop Ministries. But then in 2015, it was revealed that Mead... was actually a pedophile that molested a family member for years.
Someone should have just shot him.
Yeah, according to one of the
the
former members, she served him at a restaurant once, and she was wearing khakis, and he refused to be served by her until she was wearing a skirt. And she's like,
then don't come here.
Yeah, and she's like, now I understand why he wanted that, because like he was a pedophile that just wanted to like look at young girls.
People piss me off so much.
And there was times where, like, he had young girls that he was arranging to marry in his office for hours at a time.
Those poor girls.
And, like, not only did he, like, do stuff to them, he forced them to marry people at, like, 16 years old. Like, I could not imagine getting married at 16. That's, like... Currently, actually, the church is still run, but it's not run by his grandson. It is now run by a self-proclaimed prophet, John Linton. He said that God whispered in his ear. They changed their name again. to Christian Fellowship Church. This church has had so many,
that one's too basic.
Yeah, but, like, a lot of, like, stuff is still owned by people that are still in the church, like families and stuff. A minimum of 10% of properties around Lake City is owned by end timers.
That's fun.
And reportedly 39 businesses, probably more now, are owned by end timers. Actually, someone on the community congressional seat, like city hall or whatever, he's a part of end timers.
That's not surprising.
That was also reportedly the only time they voted, was to get him in office.
Yeah, again, that's not surprising.
So they have someone in city hall on their side. Because, like, of course
they do. I'm actually kind of surprised they don't have more in political positions and stuff.
Yeah. No, they just have that one guy. Because they don't believe in voting. That's the cults.
That's fun.
That is the cult that runs Lake City.
I was about to say, it's nice to know more about the cult I worked for. What a sentence to say.
Wait.
Can you imagine being in a cult?
Nope.
I'm sorry, I can't imagine believing in something enough to join a cult for it.
I was gonna say, do you want to start a cult with me, but...
Do you want to start a cult?
Oh, I was going come more on, for let's get some Kool-Aid.
Oh, shit. We need to make some drinks so we can all go to heaven. The world is gonna end soon.
So please.
You ruined my weird, let's start a cult, let's build a snowman parody.
Okay, so the cult I am covering is probably the best known cult, I think.
Oh yeah, when you think of cults, most people's minds go to this one.
Yeah. So I'm covering the People's Temple, also known as Jonestown Massacre.
You know, as much as I didn't really know about this, I always thought this happened in America.
Yeah. I mean, it started in America.
Yeah, but I thought, like, the massacre happened in America for some strange reason.
I mean, understandable.
It was all over, like, American, like, news.
Well, so. Yeah, because, like, that was a bunch of American civilians killed. A bunch of children.
Yeah.
Killed. The leader of People's Temple was Jim Jones, which, like...
Oh, is that why it was called Jonestown?
No, actually.
Really?
Maybe. but no, it's really weird because there is some guy in politics, I don't know, named Jim Jones right now.
To be fair, it is kind of a basic white guy name.
It is. Oh, hey, mine starts off in Indiana.
Oh.
You know, the place you didn't think existed?
I'm so sorry to anyone who lives in Indiana.
So, Jim Jones was born May 13th, 1931 in Crete, Indiana. So the Great Depression led his family to move to Lynn, Indiana, where Jones grew up in a shack with no plumbing.
I'm just saying, like, most people born around this time that was, like, in Indiana, they ended up doing something really fucking crazy. What is it about Indiana that makes people go insane?
I don't think it's just Indiana. I think it's the time.
That's true. But, like, also, Indiana, what's wrong with you? This episode's straight up a drag to Indiana.
So apparently, while he was growing up, people recall him being obsessed with religion and death, and he would hold funerals for animals.
Cool, man.
Apparently, he stabbed a cat to death. So, like, big red flag already with this guy.
Yeah, when we were watching the Jeffrey Dahmer movie, whenever he had that dog, I was like, please don't kill the dog.
I was gonna be mad if that they threw that in, because after my research on him, I know he didn't harm animals, so I'm like, why would they put that in there?
Yeah, well, I think they put that in there to show you that, like, he didn't, because he just let that dog go.
Apparently, he studied Stalin, Marx, Mao, Gandhi, and Hitler. Like, what an interesting array
of people.
Like, you got Gandhi, and then you have Hitler.
Although, Gandhi wasn't a good dude.
But, yeah. Like, it's just, like, an interesting mix in there.
It is. It is a weird mix.
He graduated early with honors in 1948. He was very well educated, apparently, according to Indiana standards.
We keep dragging him down.
Indiana standards in the 40s. He married Marceline Baldwin in 1949 and moved to Indianapolis. He got a degree in secondary education in 1961, 10 years after enrolling. So, like, he graduated early with honors, and then it took him 10 years to get this degree.
For a degree.
That shouldn't have taken him 10 years.
Yeah, a degree like that normally takes about 4 years.
In 1952, he became a student pastor.
Okay,
like, that's fine. That's cool. He founded the People's Temple of the Disciples of Christ in 1955. That's the full name.
I wonder how easy it is to start a church. Because it seems pretty easy to these
guys. It might be a little harder nowadays.
Because of, you know, the cults that happen because of it?
Yeah. Okay, so what the People's Temple was basically what he described as was Christianity with communist and sociologist ideology, emphasis on racial equality.
Okay, when you put it on paper, it doesn't sound terrible. But in action, probably fucking sucks.
He was appointed director of the local Human Rights Commission in 1960 by the mayor.
Okay.
So, like, what you'll find out is, like, he was very involved in politics.
That's the opposite of Charles Meade.
Yeah. Which is what kind of surprised after doing, like, all this research.
Yeah.
Was just, like, seeing the differences. He helped integrate many places.
Segregation was a thing, yeah?
Yeah. Him and his wife were the first white family to adopt a black child. He adopted several, and this is in quotations because this is what it said in the article, non-white children. And he had one biological child.
Oh, wow.
Apparently, 68% of his following were black.
You see, you get them to trust you by saying that you're on their side. So any, like, disenfranchised people will see that you care for them and want to come over to your side, which makes it easier to get people that are already in minority groups.
Well, I mean, it's kind of like with serial killers, will go for minority groups because they feel they're less dead, because they have less people that will actually work to solve their murder and
which
stuff.
Which is so fucked up.
It is really fucked up. And the fact that it still happens in this day and age
is even
more fucked up.
Especially, like, whenever you try to bring up, like, the Black Lives Matter movement, and they're like, what about all lives? And I'm like, well, when white people get unjustly targeted by cops whenever they're, like, just doing things, then all lives would fucking matter, bro.
I mean, the guy who got shot while running.
Right?
That pissed me off so much.
That was so fucking recent, too.
Yeah.
And, like, exactly. It took them some fucking time to get the people that shot them. And it's not like they were hiding or anything.
No.
They were just in their fucking house doing their thing.
And everyone knew who it was.
Yeah. That's like, it goes back to when Charles Meade stabbed that guy in plain sight and he just kind of got away with it. White guy.
Yep.
Good dude.
Pretty much.
I cannot understand the mind of people that are like, oh, this person has a different skin tone. They're from a different area. They don't deserve the same rights I do. Well, like, also, like, cults and, like, serial killers, they go for people that are disabled, too.
Yeah.
And, like, that's another vein of, like, fucked up.
He moved his family and following to California in 1963 to 1964, somewhere around that time. By the early 1970s, Jones began to denounce the Bible. He described it as a tool to oppress women and non-whites, which, I mean, he's not completely wrong.
Just a little quick little fun nugget. Jesus wasn't white.
Yeah, no. Anyone who thinks he was is severely...
All of the paintings that I see of Jesus just, like, as a white dude, I'm like, nope.
Anyway.
We're getting, like, deep into a racial inequality here because of this dude.
Jones claimed he was the reincarnation of Gandhi, Jesus, and Buddha.
At the same time?
Of all three of them. He was the reincarnation of all three of them.
How does that work?
I don't know.
Were they all the same person?
I can't tell if... Because, like, I don't know the time frame of their lives. If they overlap at all. But what I'm guessing is, like, they were all reincarnations and then he's the reincarnation of them.
You said Jesus, Gandhi, and who?
And Buddha.
Okay, so Buddha was... 563 BC. Gandhi was the, like, 1869s, so 1869, and then Jesus was the first one at, like, 27 AD to 30 AD. Okay,
so I'm guessing what he means is that they were all reincarnations. Buddha and Gandhi were reincarnations of Jesus, and then he's the next one.
Oh, my Google which, searches like, are so weird.
Which kind of doesn't make sense with Christianity, considering they don't believe in rebirth in that way.
Nope, that's Hinduism.
So, yeah. I mean, there's other religions that also believe in rebirth.
That's the one that comes to mind.
Especially since, like, I think Gandhi was Hindi?
I believe so. God, I can't remember.
Yeah, he was Hindi.
And then Buddha, of course.
Buddhist. Yeah. Duck and duh.
So, like,
those are different, separate religions, so.
Yeah, so.
That's interesting.
But that's what he claimed, was he was the reincarnation of them. A former member quoted him saying, "What you need to believe in is what you can see. If you see me as your friend, I'll be your friend. If you see me as your father, I'll be your father. For those of you that don't have a father. If you see me as your savior, I'll be your savior. If you see me as your god, I'll be your god." Which, that's not how that works.
See, at least Charles Meade was humble, saying he was only second to Jesus.
No, this is, guys, like, you want me to be your god? I'm your god. Anyway. He ended up moving the People's Temple's headquarters to San Francisco, where he and the temple became influential in the politics there.
Nice.
Yeah. That's probably what got him in so much trouble in the end, because I don't think he would have had so many people watching him had he not been involved in politics as much as he was. It brought too much attention to him and what he was doing, which is what he wanted, but, like, that's what led him to the downfall.
Normally, attention for any person like him is what leads to their downfall.
Yeah.
Like, the attention on the End Timers Church led to their downfall with how they were just abusing their children by not giving them medical attention.
Yeah. He was appointed chairman of the San Francisco Housing Authority Commission, which, what a mouthful.
That's a lot.
He did a lot of work, and, of course, helping blacks get integrated.
That's
and
a
of
noble
course he received
cause.
A lot of backlash for that because it was the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then someone was going to release a article exposing the People's Temple. And so Jonestown and several hundred temple members decided to move the temple's compound in the summer of 1977. And the article included allegations from former members of physical, emotional, and sexual abuse, which, yeah. Pretty common in cults,
unfortunately. Yeah.
Jones had been working on Jonestown for a few years before the article came out. He had promoted it as a socialist paradise and a sanctuary from the media of San Francisco, and members were not permitted to leave once they got there.
That's most cults. Like, you can't leave after you join. Yeah.
Oh, there was this one couple who, it was reported Jones had an affair with the wife, and when she had a child, that was really Jones's child. And, well, I guess she didn't go, and then the husband still, like, continued on with the church. But he finally decided to leave the People's Temple. But Jones wouldn't let him have the son, and he's just like, okay, went back to America. Like, you're gonna leave your child with that man?
Damn.
Like, what? After moving to Jonestown, Jones started talking about how all his followers and him would die together and move to another planet and live blissfully. Another planet.
The Mormons believe Jesus and God have their own planets.
I don't think that's how it works. By 1978, the population of Jonestown was over 900 members.
That's a lot of people.
On November 17th, 1978, U.S. Congressman Leo Ryan visited Jonestown while investigating claims of abuse. Several people said they wanted to leave with him, and then he took them with the next day when he went to the airport. But when they got there, they were met by temple security guards who opened fire on the group. They killed Leo Ryan, three journalists, and one defector. And then some of the footage of it was captured by one of the journalists on their camera.
So Jonestown at that point is in California still?
No. So Jonestown is in Venezuela. Yeah, so there is footage of the guards opening fire on that group.
That's crazy.
Which, like, has to be horrific. footage. Later that night, Jones ordered his followers to drink grape-flavored Flavorade laced with cyanide.
I love how people, like, make it bougie by saying Kool-Aid. Drink the Kool-Aid.
It was flavoring, guys.
Man, and they didn't even
the good flavor.
They had great flavor. Man, at least it was like watermelon.
Flavoring. First off, flavoring. Go for the good stuff.
Go for like strawberry kiwi.
Seriously. Or at least fruit punch. Like grape? No. Who the fuck drinks grape?
Fruit punch is below grape, if we're being real.
No. Grape is disgusting.
In my mind, fruit punch is worse than grape. Okay, go for strawberry, kiwi, or nothing. You cheaped out on your poison.
No, there's blue raspberry, too. But, like, grape? Seriously?
I love
grape
how, like, flavoring. That's the thing we're focusing on. Hundreds of people died. But grape? Why?
Actually, to be exact, 918 people died.
Yeah.
276 of them were children. So the event helped embed in the public mind the idea that all new religion movements are destructive, which not exactly true.
Yeah. You're generalizing people.
But again, look at the time.
Yeah.
You know. And then at the end of 1978, the temple declared bankruptcy and the People's Temple was dissolved December 4th, 1976. Eight, but like their headquarters building is still standing
to this day.
Yeah,
in Venezuela.
No, in San Francisco. You idiot.
That's Jonestown Massacre and the People's Temples. But yeah, that's the most common cult people think of, unless you're from Lake City. That's our episode on cults.
Hope you enjoyed it. Please don't join a cult.
If you're from Indiana, we're sorry.
Yeah, if you're from Indiana, I'm just sorry. Well, have fun in isolation, everybody. We'll hope that you're not going absolutely insane and starting a cult.
If your state's starting to open up, good luck!
So thank you for listening. We hope to be back soon with another episode about Australia.
Oh, I wasn't going to say the place because I was about to say, what if we try Finland?
Oh, it could be Finland. It could be Finland or Australia.
You know what? We'll surprise you guys.
Until next time, follow us on Twitter at @phantom_psychos.
And on Instagram at @phantom_psychos.
And check out our website. I did just update it, so you can find some new stuff there.
You can also join our Facebook page, Phantoms and Psychos.
And check out our YouTube channel. We uploaded a video, Handcuffed Together for 24 Hours Challenge.
That was annoying.
So yeah, that's Phantoms and Psychos YouTube. Say spooky, don't join a cult.
Bye. Or do. That's up to you. Bye.